Angie Cooney studies nutrition and dietetic medicine at Endeavour College. And in the Blue Mountains, she's known as an icon of healthy eating and exercise. But only a few years ago, an obsession with healthful eating and constant exercise had Angie scared of eating and food itself. She joined me in the studio last week to talk about one of the many eating disorders we don't hear enough about, orthorexia. Angie Cooney, welcome to 2SER.
Thanks for having me.
Can you run us through how you went from a healthy child competing in long distance running to a teen battling with an obsession with healthy eating?
Obviously, if you follow me on Instagram and Facebook, I speak a lot about orthorexia and suffering from an eating disorder because obviously that is something that I did suffer from when I was around 14, 15, 16 years old. And I guess it all started when I started getting more competitive with my long distance running and I started researching a lot more about health and fitness. And also when I was in year nine, that's when I got Instagram. That's when I started following a lot of fitness models, like Lauren Simpson and Rachel Dillon. And I saw what they look like and I thought I had to be that same perception in order to be considered an athlete. So in order to look, you know, ripped and look really like healthy and athletic, I don't know, I guess I stopped eating a lot of food and that kind of stemmed into exercising a lot more in order to work off the calories that I was consuming. And I guess it was something that did really dominate my life. And if you don't know what orthorexia is, it is something where the individual has an obsession over healthy eating and that always, well, or not always, but it does also extend to an excessive obsession over doing a lot of exercise. So yeah, I guess from year nine, when I was about 14 years old, I started exercising a lot more in order to be that athlete, and my health started to deteriorate rather than accelerate and increase. And I thought that was what you had to be in order to be healthy and athletic.
For anyone who might not be familiar with what orthorexia is, how does it affect someone who has it?
So it affects you on all different levels. For me personally, yes, it did affect me on a physical level, but if anything, it affected me more on a mental level. You know, I was so sad. I was so depressed, you could say, in the state that I was, but I thought I had to, you know, have that mentality, that obsessive mentality to exercise, to eat so little in order to be an athlete, in order to be good at running. And yeah, mentally I felt so lost with who I was. And also that did affect my social life as well. You know, I stopped seeing friends, I stopped going out with friends. I would, you know, pass down invitations to go out in order to stay at home and exercise. And I used to like never go out with my friends to eat because I was scared of the calories I would be consuming and I needed to know exactly what I was consuming in order to exercise that food that I ate off. And also not just with my friends, my connection with my family deteriorated a lot. I didn't speak to my parents for about 3 months. Like, I'd see them at home, obviously, because I was still living at home. I am still living at home, but I wouldn't talk to them. I wouldn't say anything to them. I'd just be in my own world, in my own room, exercising in a little cave, you could say. It was so dark, and I don't want anyone to ever go through something like orthorexia because it affects you on so many levels.
Absolutely. And I think some of the aspects of orthorexia sound similar to anorexia. Yeah. I know definitely when I was telling people about this interview, they'd be like, what's orthorexia and how is it different?
Yeah.
So for you, what are some of the biggest differences for someone who hasn't got their head around orthorexia?
Yeah, so anorexia nervosa, that is something that affects you on a physical and mental level, like orthorexia, but that is more so to do with body image and just to lose weight. It's not really to do with healthful eating. And bulimia nervosa, that is, again, similar to anorexia. However, with bulimia, a lot of people that suffer from bulimia, they tend to binge eat a lot, and then they won't consume a lot of food afterwards, or they'll try and like vomit and like really like severely calorie restrict. But orthorexia is different to those who, because it is surrounded, the whole kind of idea around orthorexia is, the obsession with healthful eating, and that kind of leads into knowing the exact caloric, like, breakdown of a certain food. So, for example, I was so scared to eat a banana, so I would look up on Google, the exact calories, what a banana contained, and how much exercise I'd have to do in order to work off that one banana I ate. So it's like a severe obsession over healthful eating and a severe obsession over exercising. So I was exercising for 6 hours a day, sometimes even more, in order to work off that amount of food that I ate.
Along with that, because you were at school at the time, what were some of the biggest challenges for you? Like, run us through a day of your life, say, in early 2015 or at the end of 2014. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, socially, physically, and mentally, how did this disease, I guess you would call it, how did that affect your life?
Alrighty, so as I was in year 11, when I was at the peak of my eating disorder, my day would usually run by waking up at 3 a.m., 3:30 a.m. I would work out until 5:30 a.m. And then I'd eat a tiny bit of oats, almond milk, a bit of fruit, and then I'd work out even more on top of that. So I'd get my, like, 2 hours or so of exercise in for that morning, and then I'll go to school. And at school, I would pack lunches, like, big lunches, but I wouldn't feel good when I ate it, and I didn't usually like eating in front of people either. I'd usually sit in the library or something and eat, because I just didn't like people looking at me eating. I felt really uncomfortable with that. Mind you, also throughout the day, I would be drinking about 8 or 9 litres of water, because I did read at the time that water made you lose weight, and it made you lose a lot of, salt retention in your body. So I thought, okay, I have to drink about 8 or 9 litres of water, because that won't make me feel hungry, so I don't have to eat. And obviously it'll keep me hydrated, I'll get rid of all the salt retention so I won't look bloated, I'll still have my abs. That's what my mentality was around that. So I'd be drinking 8 or 9 litres of water throughout the day. And then when I got home from school, I would exercise for about 1 to 2 hours. When I got home, I'd eat maybe an apple or a banana, but I'd be working out on top of that, so I didn't have to put on the extra calories. And then when dinner came around, I'd eat a tiny little bit of dinner, not a lot, and I'd usually eat in my room or something away from my mum, because I was really scared of her telling me to eat more. And then after dinner, I'd exercise even more. So my whole day basically revolved around exercising and eating as little as possible, because I was scared of food and I made food the enemy. I didn't have a good relationship with food at all.
Yeah, you can tell. And then I guess food was the enemy, and like you've said, exercise was the punishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, I was so scared of eating. Even if it was healthy, I was just so scared, because I thought I would put on weight from eating food. But I didn't realise that it was so normal and healthy to have skin and to have a little bit of fat on your body. Because you need that. You need that fat on your body. You need that skin. That's what makes you human.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And then that affected you for two and a half to three mm-hmm. years, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then how did you get out of it? Like, what helped you out of the grips of orthorexia?
I don't know. I would always watch videos of, like, what I eat in a day from Tess Begg and Athena O'Neill on YouTube, and what they ate promoted so much abundance and they looked so healthy. And I always thought, like, why can't I feel like that? Like, why do I not feel like that? And I'm exercising so much and I'm eating so little, but why don't I feel happy and why don't I feel like I'm thriving? And veganism really, really promoted that for me. So in October, November, December, I turned vegan, and then I started eating larger meals, and I started to educate myself more on what abundance was and how our body should actually feel. I started slowly eating more and more and more until my body felt good. And mind you, when I was transitioning to a vegan lifestyle, at first I was still eating a small amount of food because that was the mentality I had, that I had to eat nothing in order to be healthy. But then I realized that my body was craving so many nutrients, so many vitamins, macronutrients, and I was just giving it to my body, and I did put on about 10, 11 or 12 kilos, but that was a healthy amount of weight for me because I was at 42 kilos and that was my lightest. And my body needed to put that amount of weight back on in order to thrive and to feel good. And it was healing, and I knew that, and I felt it. And I guess, like, I started educating myself on, yeah, what abundance was and how our bodies should work and how we should treat our bodies. And that's kind of what brought me out of the orthorexia kind of mindset and lifestyle. And I also stopped comparing myself to other fitness models. That was a really big thing for me, especially a 14, 15-year-old girl that's growing up. Like, comparison was what I did all the time. And I guess it's about self-love as well, like treating your body the way that you want to treat it, if that makes sense, and giving it the self-love and, you know, allowing it to thrive.
Yeah. Well, it's so good that you came out of that and now you look very healthy, and I know that you are very healthy and you feel that within yourself, and you have a way healthier relationship with food and exercise.
Yeah.
But when you were still in that space, when you were 14, 15 years old, what have you realized looking back on that were some of the biggest misconceptions about orthorexia?
The biggest misconceptions probably would be, I don't know, being so obsessive over food. Like, you don't need to be so obsessive over food to be healthy. And you can still be healthy and eat, like, a large amount of food. You don't have to exercise for 6 hours a day. You can exercise for 30 minutes, 1 hour a day, and still feel healthy and thrive and be an athlete. When I was 14 or 15 years old and I knew someone that had the same mindset that I do now, I wish I could tell, like, myself back then that I shouldn't compare myself to other people and I should just do my own thing and, you know, feed your body with what it wants. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then do you think there's socially ideas about orthorexia that people hold that are incorrect?
Yes, I think a lot of people don't know about orthorexia. They just think anorexia nervosa and bulimia nervosa are the two eating disorders that people suffer from, and they're the only eating disorders that people suffer from. But there's orthorexia, there's binge eating disorder, there's so many more, and especially with orthorexia, I think a lot of people do suffer from it and they don't realize that they do because they're just not educated on what it actually is and how it does affect you, not just physically, but mentally, socially, and spiritually as well. And if anything, we need to create awareness around orthorexia, and we need to build a community. And that's what I'm trying to do as well with the Facebook page that I created, Angie Cooney Health and Wellness. I want to kind of create a community on there and educate other people about eating disorders and especially what orthorexia is and how it affects the body and how you can recover from it. And all we need to do is just talk about it and share our own experiences. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for coming in, Angie.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.